I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. On Smashing the Plateau, we've had many discussions with our guests about the power of relationships and community support. We really learn to appreciate the value of our community when we're faced with unexpected challenges, such as a business or professional transition. It gives me great pleasure to reintroduce Matt Spooner from episode 211, who does a great job talking about how important being part of a community is to realizing your vision and getting what you want. Matt also gives some great strategies and tactics that you should use when you're in a community to accelerate the process of getting what you want. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Matt Spooner. Matt is the director of the Executive Network for McDermott and Bull, an executive search firm headquartered in Orange County, California. Matt oversees the firm's efforts to establish and maintain meaningful relationships with senior-level executives throughout the country. Prior to joining McDermott and Bull, Matt spent most of his career forming relationships with influential contributors to various nonprofit entities whose markets he helped establish in Southern California. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, David. Thanks so much.
So you and I were chatting a little bit before we started recording the show about business plateaus, and in particular, what happens for people in mid-career when they experience a plateau. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about what you see occurring with people at that stage in life, mid-career, when they hit a plateau. What does the plateau mean to you? How would you describe it? And what do people in mid-career experience and feel when they hit a plateau?
Yeah, it's a great question. And as I was mentioning to you, when we were chatting before the podcast, I happen to work with several thousand, not at one time, of course, but several thousand senior level executives throughout the country, predominantly in Southern California. And for the most part, these executives come to our network because they've hit a plateau that they need to smash. And that plateau for the vast majority of them is that they find themselves in a career transition. For most of these members that come to us, we have about 100 new members joining the network on a monthly basis, and we have about 7,500 members within the network nationwide, predominantly in Southern California. And they're coming to us on a monthly basis because they are in that hard transition. And so the plateau that they are trying to smash is, you know, what's the next step? What am I going to do at this point in time in order to land my next meaningful role or to pivot completely and go into something brand new that I might not have even considered had I not been at this stage? And so for these members, smashing a plateau is typically about maybe pausing for the first time ever in their career and taking the time to determine what do I want. Frequently these members have been on the kind of executive roller coaster. They've been on the ups and downs, but they may not have necessarily been behind the wheel. And now they can take a moment to assume power over their career and start to make some really meaningful and well thought out decisions.
Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to be an executive and not be behind the wheel?
I think quite a few of our members have had this similar experience or had the same experience where they've gotten themselves into a career. I know that I've definitely been able to identify this. They've found themselves in a career where they look back and they've realized that while they've had some success and while they've been potentially promoted internally from position to position that's senior and more senior, or they've been poached from one opportunity to the next because of their talent, they've never really stopped to think about, is this what I really want to be doing? Is this where I see my career going? And do I even have a passion for this? What is it that I really hope to accomplish in my career? Many of our members are in that quandary. And so that's what it really means to me to be on this kind of career roller coaster where you're not necessarily at the controls. I like to think of it as them getting off the roller coaster and kind of manning their own ship, being the captain of their own ship and really directing their career. And they may need to steer into some waves for sure, but they're definitely going to be at the control.
Right. So success has been happening, but it's been happening to them as opposed to being controlled by them with a really well-formulated strategy.
Absolutely. I think that you can get to some significant heights in your career without having any particular vision for what you want your career to be. It's kind of an amazing thing, right? You know, there are plenty of people out there who are very good functionally at what they do, and they may ascend to the highest ranks of their organizations as a CFO or an operator or as a marketing executive or as an HR executive. But that may not necessarily be in unison with a vision that they have for their career. They may just be going with the flow as opposed to actually really setting a vision and working toward that. And to me, and in the opinion of our firm, you know, that vision setting and that goal setting is really the path toward creating most fulfilling career for yourself. And so, you know, the vast majority of our members really find themselves in that place of needing to rethink and rejigger their kind of mentality about their career.
So, Matt, you know, it occurs to me, I wonder how much, if you're like a marketing executive or an HR executive and your career has been humming along, you get increased levels of responsibility, you get increasing bumps of compensation, people think highly of your work, and you've been doing this for 10 or 15 or 20 years, how much of the momentum behind your career flow is due to also, in addition to what those who make the decisions about promotions are doing, are you know, making for you, how much of that inertia or momentum is also due to what's happening with your peers and the feedback you're getting from people around you, that sort of you're doing the right thing, you're moving forward in the corporate sphere, or even if you're in a small company, you're moving along, but people expect you to behave a certain way and you follow suit.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, I think we can all just look at our direct experience in order to kind of extrapolate examples. And, you know, with that question, even though I would never at this point in my career consider myself to be a senior level executive at the same level as the members that I work with to benefit, I know that in my relatively young career, I can look at it and recognize that my own fulfillment and my own happiness with what I've been doing didn't really occur until I actually took a step back. And that may have even been taking a step back from the praise and the accolades that I had been receiving early on in my career. When I first graduated from college, I went immediately into nonprofit and started working with young adults in youth organizations, with after-school programming, and working with them to develop leadership skills and to really get out there in the world as thoughtful young individuals, which was really meaningful work. But over time, what I noticed is that, the good work that I had been doing, directing these programs and benefiting these young people, it was definitely getting the attention of people who were higher up than I was. And I was getting a lot of attention for it and opportunities to direct regions of the organization. And then I was brought from that first organization into another larger regional organization in order to do similar work. But I think that was really the point, is that I was getting recognized for the work that I was doing, but not once did I ever say, hey, is the nonprofit sector is working with either, let's say, young people, which was the first opportunity, or in a university setting. Is this what I really want to be doing? And if it is what I want to be doing, is the functional role that I'm playing within that organization what I want to be pursuing? So over time, what I recognize is that even though I had been praised and given accolades for the certain specific programs within larger organizations that I had been running, what I really wanted to be doing was actually working to benefit the organization at large, not just maybe a small component of it, but working on a more universal level. And it wasn't until I had that realization and recognition of what I wanted to be doing that I started to take steps in order to tackle that issue.
So how does one go from a position where you're receiving praise and you're receiving recognition and you're receiving compensation for it,
mm-hmm.
to say, and you're getting also positive feedback from your peers? How do you sort of turn all that off and spend the time that you need to reflect and figure out, is this really the direction I want to go in?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I have a colleague that I work with at McDermott and Bull who frequently, and I think accurately, discusses professional life in the same terminology as you would relationships. And it kind of made me think of that when you asked the question, because you can be in a wonderful relationship with someone, and wonderful in the sense that they love you very much and they give you all sorts of attention and praise, and they're your biggest fan. But if there's not that mutual connection, if there's not that feeling that this is someone that I also feel the same way about, then ultimately that relationship will most likely come to its natural end. And so I think about business and careers in the same way. You can be getting recognized, and you can be happy with the recognition and the praise that you're receiving and the results that you're getting. But if you know that it's not the right opportunity for yourself, then ultimately there's going to be a level of either dissatisfaction or unhappiness with the situation. And that's definitely something, once again, that I recognized about 10 years into my nonprofit career, is that I didn't want to be, working on one program or maybe even a couple of programs within a larger organization. I wanted to be working at the highest level, benefiting entire organizations, which is when I really started to pivot from being more in the program side to being in the fundraising side and really working to pump essentially, funds to kind of support the entire organization. So that was the big pivot for me. Even though programmatically I'd been doing quite well in receiving praise, that relationship had really, come to its end, and no amount of accolade or positive feedback was really going to, make me feel fulfilled in that role.
Matt, are there ways that we can recognize the kind of plateau you're describing, where there may be a disconnect between what you're doing and what really fulfills your passion?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, ultimately the easiest way to recognize it is that, do you have a personal mission, whether or not that personal mission is related to your non-work life or it's related to your professional life? For me, my mission has been very clear since I actually stopped to think about it, which was that I wanted to both create and contribute to communities that change lives. That's my mission. I think most executives haven't necessarily been challenged in order to think about their personal mission. If you don't have a personal mission, it's very hard to know whether or not you're going to be steering your ship or whether or not you're on the roller coaster. My guess is that you're most likely on the roller coaster if you don't have your personal mission. But with your personal mission and being armed with that, you can really start to course correct and make sure that the decisions that you're making about your career and or the decisions that might be, directed in your way, you can make sure that they align appropriately with how you see your career evolving. So that's what I would truly challenge executives with, is to think about what is my mission? What's my vision for my career? And are these opportunities and these accolades that are springing up in front of me, or even the challenges that I see in front of me, are these speaking to the direction that I want my career to move within? And if so, I'll either tackle that challenge and or I will take that that accolade or that praise, in due time and in good measure, or I will figure out a way to shift and pivot and move past that into a space that's more authentic for myself.
It seems to me that having a personal mission is essential to long-term success, whether you're an entrepreneur or an executive in a corporate setting or whatever you're trying to do in business.
Yeah, I would agree. And as I mentioned before, I really felt mostly listless until I set that intention. It's a very powerful thing to take a step back and to realize that that you actually have the power and the capacity to build out a personal mission, and that you can start to gain some momentum in your career because of that. And not just your career, this can apply to any other component of your life, but this podcast I know is focused heavily on smashing plateaus in business and having that vision for your career and or for your business as an entrepreneur or as a small business owner. Those are very powerful exercises that I think largely get overlooked. I think setting mission and setting vision can sometimes be kind of deprioritized, and I think these are very powerful tools that we can all leverage.
Matt, once you've been able to clarify what your personal mission and your vision are, what are the ways that you have seen people successfully learn some of the new things that they need in order to be able to smash the plateau?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think once you set a personal vision for yourself, I think the next thing to do is to actually start to share that vision with other people. One of the big things that I turn to as an example of this is my pursuits as an endurance athlete. Personally, I compete in ultra marathons and triathlons, and for me, whenever I set a goal to do something that audacious and that big, I share that immediately with my friends, with my family, with my colleagues, because what I want to try to do is set some accountability and set some energy around that goal. And so if I have a vision for myself and my career, one of the big things that I would do is to form community and to start to share that vision and to share that future that you see yourself moving into with other people. Now you've formed, whether or not it's a de facto or a very very intentional accountability group for people who can add value to you during that process and also add energy to that vision.
Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about some examples that you may have seen of someone who has started to share his or her vision and what happens with this community that gets formed.
Sure. So a great example is within our network, we put on, as I mentioned, several hundred events a year. And one style of that event is called a mixer. And these mixers, we lovingly refer to them as a speed dating for executives. And what we do at these events is we get individuals sitting together at tables of four or five people for several rounds of very, very, short, specific networking during an evening. And what we mandate our members to essentially bring into that environment is a networking bio. And that networking bio is not a resume, it's not a CV, it's actually a very specific document that we have our members populate in order to predominantly share with their other members where they see themselves moving into in their career. It allows them to list target companies, the industries that those companies are affiliated with, and how deep into the process of connecting with those companies and or individuals they are. And a great example of, you know, how this really can, you know, help, you know, move a needle, you know, when you set a vision and you set some targets in that way, is one of our members, I won't use his last name, but his name is Sam, attended an event that we held back in December of 2015. And at that event, he actually sat down at a table with one of our recruiters at McDermott and Bull. And through that relationship and by him sharing with that recruiter that he was looking to transition into a senior level, or I should say another senior level financial operating position within a transportation company, he was able to form a meaningful relationship with the recruiter at the table, who just so happened to be working on a search where he was looking to find, you guessed it, a senior financial operator for a transportation company here in Southern California. That meeting led to an introduction to the consultant working on the search. The consultant loved Sam, put him in front of the client, and the client ultimately ended up hiring Sam amongst a filter of several hundred senior level executives throughout the country. So by, you know, Sam coming to that event with his vision, prepared to share it, he was able to, you know, catalyze, you know, some real powerful, you know, momentum in his career and land a phenomenal role.
Right. But just being clear about what kinds of connections he was looking for.
Absolutely. One of my former colleagues, who's still a good friend of mine, said that being specific is terrific and being vague is the plague. So we really do encourage our members of the network, and I would do the same thing for the listeners of your podcast, just to get very specific about what it is that they're looking for. That could be vis-a-vis creating a vision and a mission for yourself, or just thinking about what you want. If it's too intimidating to think about your vision and your mission, just think about what you want and how are you going to move toward that, and how are you going to get people on board with helping you achieve that.
Right. And now, if you're in a community that is as large as the network that you manage, 7,500 people, what are some of the benefits that can come to you as a member, and also that you can provide to the network that help support your mission and vision?
Yeah, it's interesting, because the way that you phrase that question, I'll focus more on the latter part of it, because the latter part of it is really the answer to the former part of the question. So what members can bring into the network is what actually provides the most benefit for themselves within the network. And that really has to do with leading with what you can do for other people. What traditionally happens in a networking context, which is, you know, largely what we do through the component of the firm that I run, it's a networking group. And the traditional networking model is one where you show up to an event with a pitch about yourself, and you're ultimately prepared to talk about who you are and what you do and essentially, you know, what you've accomplished. And what most executives are missing out on, and what they don't realize, is that that type of inward focus is actually not an accelerant of your success in a networking context. What is an accelerant of your success in a networking context primarily is what you can do for other people. And what you can do for other people shouldn't be something that's very generic, like, you know, let's connect on LinkedIn and see who I'm connected to, and I'll be glad to introduce you to anybody that I know. What I'm talking about is specifically what can you do for other people, and thinking about what you can do for other people prior to entering into the event, and having a very specific idea as to how you can help maybe everybody that you meet, or anybody that you meet, or maybe some very specific people at that networking event. So, for instance, one of the things that we've done through the network that has really helped to redefine networking is very simple. This isn't revolutionary thinking, or at least it shouldn't be, but for us, we found that this really has been a differentiator, is that before our events, we will share with our members who's going to be at that event. It sounds pretty simple, but the vast majority of networking events that I've attended, both prior to and even during my time at McDermott and Bull, that aren't our own events, you'd be surprised how often the organizing, the organizers of those networking events kind of hold close to the vest, you know, who's going to be attending. But at our events, you'll know a week prior to the event who's attending, not only their name and their email address, but also their LinkedIn profile, the previous company or the current company they're working for, the previous title or the current title they've held or they're currently holding. We do whatever we can prior to the event to make sure that the attendees of our events show up armed to help other people. And the only way that you can know how to help other people is if you can do your homework. So we give our members the opportunity to do what I consider to be executive level thinking about the networking context, so they can step into an event knowing that there might be 10 people there from the high technology world, and there might be 7 people there from medical devices and healthcare. And they have connections in those worlds, and they're going to go seek out those individuals at the event in order to share with them who they may be able to introduce them to, or some ideas about their businesses that can really help to create some momentum for those people. And by doing that, by leading with what you can do for other people, the natural byproduct of that is that you will get follow-up after the event from those individuals. And by getting the follow-up, you will have the natural opportunity in order to ask those people for what they can do to help you. But you first want to lead with what you can do for other people specifically, give them those connections, and then watch what happens to the relationship afterward.
Which is really basic planning and preparation for an effective meeting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as I mentioned before, it really to me is shocking how frequently you're not able to do that heading into an event. You know, one of the things that I mention frequently to the members of our network is that time is the most precious commodity that you have when you're in transition. And managing your time and protecting your time and making sure that you're spending it in the right way while you're in a transition is critical. So showing up to an event with your fingers crossed, only armed with your own story, is not only potentially, you know, highly ineffective, but it's also not inspirational. It's also not what's going to drive activity to you after the event. And what we're really focused on is not only getting the right people in the room together, but getting those individuals to think about each other prior to the event, so that the event is truly a meaningful engagement where people are leading by example and paying it forward, and through that activity, really generating momentum around their search and forming relationships much more quickly and in a much more meaningful and strong fashion.
It certainly sounds like a much more productive way to handle networking and relationship building.
Yeah. And it's interesting, as the director of this component of our firm, most of our members would consider me to be some type of guru in networking, where I could walk into any environment and really do well. And I got to tell you, David, it's the complete opposite. I really think that somehow, some way, McDermott and Bull, through taking a very different approach, even if it's just slightly changing the way things are done in the lead up to the events and during the events, has created an environment that really can make anybody an effective networker and really take the anxiety out of the process. I've shown up to various networking events that are not our own events over the last 2 years, and I've got to tell you, they're just as awkward and just as unfruitful for me as they typically had been. So I really think that this approach of being able to do your homework, know who's there, know how to benefit other people, lead with that, and then see what that does for you, whether or not you're currently working or in transition, is really powerful stuff.
Now, Matt, for listeners who want to learn more about you and about the executive network, what's the best way for them to either get in touch with you or to learn more about what you're up to?
Absolutely. So the best way to learn about the network is by visiting the network's website, which is www.mbexec.net. So that's MB for McDermott and Bull, exec for executive.net.
Great. Thank you. And lastly, I wondered if you might be able to share something about someone you know personally who has been successful at smashing plateaus.
Absolutely. As I mentioned to you either right before the podcast started or even during the podcast initially, I'm a huge fan of podcasts. I listen to quite a few of them. And one of the podcasts that I listen to that has really got me thinking in different ways and working to smash plateaus in my own life and my own career is a podcast called The Rich Roll Podcast. And it's a phenomenal podcast by, interestingly enough, a vegan ultra endurance athlete named Rich Roll, who has really generated a phenomenal community around himself of advocates, business leaders, thinkers, athletes, you know, any number of very impressive people who come onto his podcast and talk about what they're doing to promote positive culture and to change the dynamics of business or dynamics of performance or success. It's a very interesting podcast that I really, you know, like to, you know, let people know about. That's helped me from a, both a personal and a business standpoint. There's also an organization that that I work with here in Southern California called ONEOC. That's O-N-E-O-C. And ONEOC is this phenomenal organization that, for the most part, helps executives connect to nonprofit organizations in order to learn how to be an effective board member, connect to organizations that align with their personal missions. And that obviously serves two purposes. It helps those executives build meaning in their lives and connect with organizations that they might not have necessarily been connected to if they hadn't found ONEOC. But then it also obviously stands to benefit the organizations that these executives join as well, because these organizations are frequently in need of board members to help them realize the vision and the mission that they've set out to accomplish. So ONEOC does a number of things. I'm just really scratching the surface with what they do in order to benefit nonprofit organizations and the constituents of those organizations in Orange County. But it's a phenomenal, phenomenal outfit that deserves you know, some attention. So I wanted to let people know about that as well.
Those are two great examples. So thanks for sharing those. And for our listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Matt Spooner and what he does with the executive network for McDermott and Bull, please check out mbexec.net. We'll include that link in the show notes. And Matt, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. It's been a really great discussion about how to smash a plateau, with particular focus on your personal mission and vision, and how community support is really critical to smash the plateau into success. So thanks again for taking the time to join us. My guest today has been Matt Spooner, Director of the Executive Network for McDermott and Bull. Thank you again, Matt, for joining us.
Thanks, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. After listening to this special re-release of our discussion with Matt Spooner, do you wonder how you can use community to accelerate your success? Reach out to me if you'd like to hear some tips on how you can use a community to help you smash the plateau. You can reach me through our website, www.tendstrategicpartners.com. That's T-E-N-D, strategicpartners.com. Or by calling our office, 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. I'd love to hear from you.